You're listening to episode 89 of the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast, Post-Republican Islamic Surveillance Mechanism.
Welcome to episode 89 of the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast. Today is June the 9th, 2013. I'm Matthew Dean Furlough, and this is my super secretive brother, James Furlough.
That's right. Well, and more importantly, I'm no longer in my... Well, it's not a chamber of secrets. It's a fortress of solitude. I have officially moved. You can see I've got some pretty colors now in the background, no longer this stark white background. I feel like I'm not echoing anymore, so that's good.
This is my first tour of the room, just along with everybody else. I've never actually seen it.
Yeah, so that was my dog. So we have here living room, a shelf, a heater, a door leading to the bedroom, another shelf, hardwood floor. Nice. We continue. We got the door. A couch and a window to the outside world.
Holy cow. This is like you're doing this like right in the main
Yeah, so one of the changes we made from this house to the other is my office / desk is now in the living room. So I no longer have a bat cave or a fortress of solitude.
If I remember correctly, that was always one of your goals, was to move there, and it was actually on protest of my sister-in-law that you did not do that. So,
yes.
How did you finagle that one?
How did I pull that one off? Well, you know, I just made a very good case, which was, look, anytime we want to watch something cool, we have to go into the back room office, and there was just like, This one chair that is currently draped in a blanket was the only chair besides my ball in the back room, and I always used to steal the chair, and you know, it was just a passive aggressive way of like, hey, you know, if this was in the living room, there you wouldn't have to sit on the ball.
So clever.
So my desk actually, my desk space is now a little bit smaller as a result, but I think in the end it will be good.
It's nice. Well, I'm glad you got your way.
Man, I wrote a blog post a really long time ago. It was like one surface for all activities, and that was the idea. It was, you just had a single room where you did everything, kind of loft style, I guess, and it was all interchangeable and flexible. And
won't it be interesting to see how much Apple agrees with you in about a week? After WWDC, and they launch all their new operating systems and their new Apple TV and the Apple Watch and the new iPhone, and because it turns out everybody thinks they can launch every new product next week. Actually, the iPhone's like the one thing that people are like, we're not going to launch a new one. Don't get excited. but we're not talking about that quite yet, because we still got one more thing we got to do this week, like every week. We will be talking about technology and the continuing corporate opera, or the soap opera of corporations' dealings back and forth, the people working for them, their marketing campaigns, and the technology they are developing. Before we get into the heart of the show, which I tried to short-circuit to, James has a short disclosure that he's got to throw out there.
Yes, I work for HP. However, I do not represent HP or any of HP's opinions, which is not a big deal this week, but next week that will become very important.
Nice. If you want to follow us throughout the week, we've got all sorts of social media outlets. I went to a wedding yesterday, and I was all up in the social media. If you follow me on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook, or you are well aware, Vine. I was Vining a bunch too.
What about Pinterest? Were you Pinteresting?
I don't do the pin thing. I've never been much of a pinner.
I'm going to cut you off in the middle of it. Our dad has discovered Pinterest. Have you noticed this? Except he does it wrong. Because what he does is he surfs Pinterest, finds interesting pictures. I kid you guys not. I had an email full of this. You do too if you haven't seen it yet. And then he does this on his iPad. He takes a screenshot of what he saw and then emails the screenshot.
No way. Are you serious?
Yes. I'm just like, what is this?
That's priceless.
Yeah, and he's like, saw this on Pinterest. You're like, okay, yes. Awesome. Way to break the social media tool.
Yeah, really, seriously. Wow. I guess we get this from our mom, maybe.
I don't know. Well, he's the weird hilarious. One, right? Because he had the Apple II, he had the Mac, he had the first, whatever that was, the MacBook. Clearly, we know where we get our Apple fanboyism from.
Yeah.
So when it comes to, like, hardware, man, he's there. He gets it.
He's a super early adopter. He was the first person I knew that had a digital camera. I mean, he got a digital camera before.
Right.
Well, it was ridiculous to have a digital camera because it had like 18 pixels.
Yeah, I remember it took a floppy disk to hold it. And,
that's right.
And I remember when we were at the Hoover Dam and we were taking a family photo, and there was like that other family who were all huddled around it. We're like, what is this magical device?
Right. Yeah.
I remember that.
And sometimes he's a super early adopter, and sometimes it's just like, what are you doing, Dad?
Yeah, so it's like hardware, super early, software, no, thank you, I'm not interested at all.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
That's funny.
Anyways, you can follow me at James Furlow on Twitter.
Okay. My Twitter is at Matthew D. Furlow, all sorts of fun and exciting stuff. And the other thing I want to mention really quickly, I just want to give a quick little shout-out to caffeine. Turns out when you, like, don't use a lot of it all the time, it's really, really a cool drug. I went from like tired enough to fall asleep in my chair about 10 minutes ago to feeling really excited. and it kept me up till 4:30 this morning. Hence why I was wanting to fall asleep in my chair. Oh boy, that was a heck of a wedding.
So I had someone ask me. He was like, he was asking about the podcast because I knew from your tweet that you had gone to bed very early in the morning.
Yes.
Or I should say late in the morning.
Really. Right.
And he was like, so, you know, when he gets tired, does he get chatty or like you just want to fall asleep? And I was like, honestly, he's going to pop a couple full throttles and you know, we won't even know. So he'll be very chatty, but not because he's tired.
Yeah. It was pretty funny, man. There were a couple of.
So we got to get a product endorsement by. You're full throttle guy, aren't you?
I used to be full throttle, and then I decided to not be fat anymore, and I started to go. I had to go look at all these different energy drink options, and
fat comment.
And sugar-free Red Bull ends up being the ones that is the route I go. They're pretty good. If you buy them from the store, they're actually not ridiculously priced. If you buy them like in bulk four at a time, they're like you can get them for like $1.50, $2 each. Which
have you ever tried that? Was it the 5-hour energy ones?
I tried it back when I was like a hardcore caffeine addict and like would take a huge like. Full throttle and fall asleep 10 minutes later. So I never thought it worked, but it might just be. Oh yeah, I mean, I was so immune to caffeine, it was ridiculous. It just got me to kind of normal. Was like all caffeine did. Oh yeah, caffeine's not. I've had an unhealthy relationship with caffeine over the course of my life. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm better. Yeah. It's been a weird 2 years trying to get my my chemical intake between food and caffeine and soda and all that sort of stuff all sorted out. But it's cool when it works. Anyways, so we're not here to talk about caffeine so much, but we are here to talk about all sorts of cool stuff. And one of the things, speaking of digital cameras, Bell Labs has got a big one
Close.
Coming out.
I'll accept it.
Oh yeah. So, you know, sometimes you just gotta reach back a little bit.
I understand. You're a little tired, a little punchy.
Yeah. So this is kind of a cool idea, actually. I thought it was. I read it and I didn't understand it at like how this or I, when I read it, I thought, oh my goodness, this actually totally makes sense. Like, why this would work. Basically, what happened was Bell Labs is looking at how cameras work, and cameras. in principle, how a digital camera works and how a film camera works are exactly the same, where you take light, you send it through a bunch of lenses that focus the light and bring it all down to a very small and sensitive area. Mm-hmm. On a film camera, that's a light-sensitive film strip. On a digital camera, that's a digital little piece of silicon. And what they were finding was that you would bring all the light in, and then you would just have a matrix of sensors. Okay. And you would take that information and you would process it very quickly, and you would take it all and then you'd compress it into JPEGs, and you'd actually what they find is that you bring all this light in, and then it loses a lot of the data because there's way more photons than there are, you know, number of whatever those things are called, pixels. And you know, the classic example is that with a traditional film camera, the film retains way more resolution than a digital camera ever could. Now, at this point, since we only ever look at pictures on screens, that super high resolution that you get, or, you know, analog resolution you get with a film camera,
doesn't really matter.
Tell the difference.
Yeah.
Exactly. What these guys came up with was this idea of, well, if all we care about is that lost, or the data that has some of the resolution gone, your compressed format, why don't we create a type of silicon that, or a sensor, that how it actually processes the light is already... it has that whole algorithm built into it where it literally captures a compressed image. And I didn't really get into very deep on exactly how this thing works, outside of the very concept of that's what it's trying to do. They talk about the idea that it uses a single pixel, and it senses, it has a bunch of different like slits and stuff that it like allows light in through different areas, and it creates this kind of string of data as the light comes in that produces a JPEG and the image. But what's really cool about it is they're saying that because it kind of uses this like single sensor through a number of slits, they don't actually need a lens on it at all. The pictures just come in, or whatever image you're looking at comes in focus. And it's one of those really weird, like, everything is in focus images. And
which almost
where you
would
actually,
be a little weird, but...
Well, it is a little weird, except that Adobe developed a system for doing that where they have, like, these, like, crazy multi-lens things. And essentially what they do is they do post-rendering of all of the focus. So you can have a blurred, unfocused picture. You just have to do that in software. And so you can, you know... So the image looks right as your eye, human eye, would see it, but it doesn't... You don't need that. And so they're also saying that... So they're talking about how it's like, yeah, we're going to totally get rid of the lens if this kind of thing works.
So you wouldn't, but you'd still need a lens if you wanted to zoom in or out.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of focusing, you're just shooting, as long as you're not moving, it should be in focus.
Yeah, that's kind of what they're saying. They're saying the biggest problem right now is that it's a slow technology. So.
Mm.
Because it does, instead of the matrix of sensors is essentially how the current one works, because it's like one little tiny sensor. It only really works for things that are standing still. Although it works well, and they said basically what they need to do in order to make it work for all images, they just have to get faster. They have to build.
Well, that'll happen.
Yeah, and they're talking about how at this point they're using a lot of low cost, commercially available components. So as you kind of work towards building really, you know, highly engineered components for this, it'll get better, and they'll be able to move in that direction. But yeah, their zoom is still, yeah, you would need an actual lens for that. But yeah, it's pretty neat.
That is cool.
Yeah, maybe better camera technology. Oh baby,
I could do that.
Yeah. I know it's especially important with, you know, like your smartphones, because, you know, that's one of the biggest shortcomings of the camera itself, is that it requires a lens, and there's just not a lot of space in a phone that's a quarter of an inch thick for a lens.
Really? Makes sense. Cool. So I saw a couple new tech things that I thought were pretty cool.
Yeah.
The first one is a repurposing of Wi-Fi signals, where you can use, how do I want to say it? You can use the Wi-Fi signals to interpret your gestures. So, or how to, what's the way to say this? So Wi-Fi signals go all throughout your house, right?
Right.
And you can kind of do the equivalent of like a sonar thing, where it can tell, or maybe that Batman tech, where it can tell where you are and when you move. And so then what you can do is you can give some sort of sign like, hey, pay attention to me, I'm now the remote. And, you know, and so again, like that sonar-ish technology to be like, oh, you made the sign. And then so you give your indicator, and then you can do a move, and you essentially, you know, send this a signal. Okay, that was probably not the best way to explain it. But here's the overall idea. Is you could be sitting in a chair anywhere in the room, and you give your indicator, which might be like, pat the top of your head. I don't know. And your Wi-Fi router, which is obviously modified, but it goes, oh, he just patted his head, that's the indicator. And then you're like, you might be like sitting there, and you raise both hands up like this, just up into the air. And that tells it, oh, he wants to increase the volume on the radio. Or who has a radio? On the stereo system.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't understand. What's a radio?
What I was really hoping you were going to say there is that when you raise your hands like that up in the air, your X-Wing starts to float out of the swamp.
There you go.
That's my ideal.
No, that's you just hold your hand out for that one and just kind of shake a little bit. Just close your eyes and focus.
Yeah.
And if you're really good, you'd realize that you don't even have to put your hand in the air. It's
exactly.
So that's the idea. And they say if your device is connected to your Wi-Fi router, you know, your Wi-Fi router can essentially act like a remote control receiver, and then tell your device to do whatever it was. They showed examples of turning on lights, turning on and off televisions.
Wow. So, that's cool. I mean, to clarify just a little bit more, it totally makes sense because, you know, a Wi-Fi antenna, like all electromagnetic light, it's just light of some sort. It's just a highly processed light. And just like you can send internet signals through your light fixtures, you can, and that are used to illuminate, and you can measure those bounce back. And it's, you know, it's essentially how cameras and lasers work.
So
you know?
Speaking of cameras, they were like, it's very similar to the Xbox Kinect, except it uses Wi-Fi signals, which the cool parts about that is it goes through walls, so it doesn't require line of sight. And
I guess what I'm surprised by is that it goes through walls, but it doesn't go through you. I was always under the impression that we weren't very good at blocking Wi-Fi signals, but I guess we are.
I don't know. But the other interesting thing about this was that it uses, at least right now, computer learning to learn what your indicators and what your remote signs are. So you'll do a motion, patting the top of your head over and over and over again until the computer goes, okay, I get it. You're doing something right now, and I need to pay attention to that particular movement. And then once you've taught it that, then you can teach it whatever you want the next sign to be to do something, which is interesting. And they're like, and that indicator in some ways acts as a password, whereas, you know, someone else would have to do it in order for it to work and do it the way you do it. Otherwise, they can't, you know, they can't open up your garage door on you by doing an indicator.
How do I turn your TV on, James? Oh, you just, pick your nose. You what?
press the power button. Come on.
I gotta say, there's a lot of things. That's fascinating. I wonder how sensitive it is. I wonder what sort of things it'd pick up on. And that's cool. I hope.
Yeah. So stuff like that happens. So my opinion, because these are guys at University of Washington who are doing it, is that this particular like technology will never be commercially available. You know, they're not going to come up with a product and be like, Wi-Fi gesture module, buy it now for $999.99. Right. And it won't be that expensive. But I could see where other companies kind of start to run with this and they get integrated into something else. You know, Microsoft buys the tech.
Right. One of the things I like about it is that it kind of gives you the... It's you know, they get into this, you know, they're talking gesture control, but I think just general awareness of where people are and who the people are in a house or in a building is, you know, that would indicate to me something that's way more powerful, because, you know, it's the classic, you know, you've got a bunch of speakers in your house all tethered together, lights and speakers and temperature control, you know, all tethered to one central computer, and you want the music and lights to follow you throughout the house and turn off and play areas you or you weren't, and you know, change temperature control. And if you had a device that could track you through the walls, this is all going to become really terrifying in about an hour or half hour when we start talking about the NSA. But right now, it seems like a really cool idea for having your computer know where you are all the time in your house.
Well, yeah.
Like, and, what room?
and my thought with that was really like the past were desktops. The current are mobile devices. The immediate future is wearable computing, and you know, and at each stage it introduces a new type of GUI and a new type of sensor, you know, of input, really, and you know, way of interacting with it, I guess. And I do genuinely believe that wearable computing is the next phase. I mean, if you haven't figured that out yet, just look at what Google's doing. Look at all the iWatch rumors. Right. That's the direction it's headed in. But I also believe, and you know, this is the Star Trek, you know, wish and hopes, right? That the latest movie kind of ignores, but whatever. You know, the very long-term future is no device, where the computers are everywhere and they just detect where you are and what you're doing. And they have different sensors. Not only can they sense what's going on with you, but they can also sense what's going on in your environment, and you know, and contextualize what's going on. You know, it's, hey, this person's sweating, right? And it's, you know, you have your fuel band that tells you, oh, you're sweating, but it goes because it's 100 degrees outside. Whoa!
Yeah.
You know? And so, you know, can start to pull some of those things together. So it turns on the fan for you, hey, because it's hot.
Oh man! Wow, that actually. Whoa. Okay, mind just blown. I want a temperature control system. I want an HVAC system in my house, a thermostat that doesn't tell me, doesn't set how warm the room is, that regulates how warm or cold I am. That's
boom.
Where it goes. That's, I mean, like, obviously that's where it goes. Like, but say, you know what? One day it's going to seem goofy that we used to, that we regulate the temperature of the room as opposed to regulate, you know, based on what we want the room temperature to be, as opposed to regulate the temperature of ourselves. That's
yeah,
what we want.
Imagine,
that's what we've always wanted to regulate.
Yeah,
what
totally.
The
imagine the computer knows if you're wearing a sweater or not, and it's like, well, we don't need to be as hot in here because he's wearing a sweater. You know, as a matter of fact, it knows when you're driving home whether or not you're wearing a sweater and what the temperature is in the car, which will give you an indicator of what you might want it to be in the house. And, you know, I mean, there's – so all that to say, I think that this Wi-Fi, which, by the way, is called a WISE, W-I-S-E-E. Stupid name, but you know, whatever.
I was gonna say they're gonna have to come up with a better name.
You know, I thought the same thing about Nintendo's Wii, so what do I know?
Yeah. But so, Nintendo had the awesome "We would like to play" campaign.
Yeah,
I mean,
right. Well, they're like, we see. No, we don't. So
I guess it's a.
Anyways,
Big Brother's watching.
The point of all that is, I think that's a perfect example of where it's headed. And I think the Kinect again is another great example of that. That is limited to the living room, and eventually it won't be. And that's cool.
Right.
That is cool. And like you said, later on we'll also talk about how that could be potentially scary. But for now,
potentially, It is. It just is terrifying.
Well, I must admit that I didn't follow it very closely. I was on business travel all week, and so every time one of those articles came up, I was like, oh, I'm actually going to have to read this and study this, and I don't have time right now.
Yeah. Well, don't worry. I mean, let's talk about whatever we're going to talk about.